Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Hey, Freaky Friends! It's Michelle and Melissa from the Freaky Fridays podcast. We are sisters in separate states and love to talk about all kinds of spooky, freaky, and scary shit while drinking and laughing through our fear.
Join us Fridays as we delve into everything from the world of the paranormal to scary movies to creepy stuff we find around the internet. Subscribe to Freaky Fridays wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Sleep tight.
Make sure you leave the lights on.
Freaky Fridays is a proud member of the Podmoth Network. For more awesome pods, check out podmoth.network.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Do you like cracking into curious creatures? Perhaps you ponder the paranormal. Have you ever got a hankering for the haunted? Ever entertained the existence of extraterrestrials? Or have you ever just wanted to hear genuine encounters of any kind? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, then Cryptids, Creeps, and Conspiracy Podcast is right up your alley. So grab your sense of humor and open your mind as we take a journey to uncover the mysteries behind kooky critters, spooky specters, enigmatic entities, and the controversial conspiracies that surround them. Buckle up, because we're going to have a good time.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's always good to hang out again.
Yeah. We've got some doozies of stories to tell you today. I've got a fun one that's kind of that was given to me as an idea from a friend. So we'll get into that. But before we do that, what is your story about, Declan?
My story is about a swatting that happened.
Oh, that is terrifying that people can do that. Is. Oh yeah. My gosh. Okay.
I included it because the new Call of Duty came out and that's what the whole thing originated on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Cool. Well, to go with my story, I brought the cocktail called Drunk Ghost, and that is made up of 2 ounces of Malibu rum, 1 ounce of vanilla vodka, 2 ounces of coconut cream, 4 ounces of Sprite, and then if you want to garnish with a marshmallow. The steps are to pour everything into a glass except for the Sprite, basically. So you put your rum, your vodka, and your coconut cream in a glass, then top with Sprite, and then stir gently to combine. I did that, and it's separating out. And so if I were to make this again, I would probably shake everything and then top with Sprite, because I now have like separated layers, and I think that's the coconut cream.
Which, that's weird.
As I was telling you before we started recording, I had a little mishap and the coconut cream broke as I was trying to shake it, and the coconut cream is everywhere on the floor in the pantry, and so we had to clean that up real quick. So all right, are you ready to give this weird sounding cocktail a try?
Yes, let's give it
a
sip.
Here we go. Honestly,
That's okay.
I kind of like it. I think the vanilla hits me first and then the cocoa, but it's It's a sweet drink, so it's not something that you could drink a lot of and get drunk off of, but it's not terrible. I'll drink this.
Not too bad.
I mean, if you like coconut, it is very cocoa forward.
Yes. So.
So the reason I brought the Drunk Ghost cocktail is because we're going to talk about a haunted hotel.
Ooh.
Yes. And this one, I would like to go to this one. We know someone, like I said, this was suggested by a friend, Anne. Shout out to Anne. She was just at this hotel and she got some spooky stuff to tell me about it. And so I researched it because she was saying, you've got to do an episode on the show about this hotel. And I'll tell you some of her direct experiences later on. But let's start out with a little bit of the history of the hotel. The hotel is the Santa Maria Inn in Santa Maria, California. It is a historic hotel that first saw visitors in 1917. So it's an oldie. It is located on the central coast of California and has been a local landmark for over a century. It sits halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, making the location key for travelers between the two major cities. Because back in the day, in the, you know, 1917, there wasn't, you know, a lot of people were driving between the two. And so they needed a place to crash halfway between because it's like a good solid drive between those two, multiple hours. And back then you weren't driving 80 miles an hour down the freeway.
Yeah.
Right. So having that in between place was nice. When it first opened, there were 24 rooms with private bathrooms, a kitchen, and a dining room. I can't imagine. Could you imagine staying in a hotel nowadays without a private bathroom? Like having to share? I'm not That'd staying.
Some more of a hostel.
Yeah, 100%. No, thank you. I don't want to do that. Yeah, I want my own private bathroom. Over the subsequent years, based on popularity, more rooms were added during several expansions and renovations. By 1928, the hotel had grown to 85 rooms. Today, the inn and grounds contain 164 rooms and suites, an English-style pub, additional dining rooms, and a lush garden which supplies fresh-cut flowers to the location. The fresh flowers were important to the inn's founder, Frank McCoy, and the tradition has continued through the years. It was such a staple in the beginning that stained glass windows depicting flowers are found in the historic wing of the hotel. So it's fancy.
Yeah, sounds like it.
The hotel is decorated in an old English style with warm woods, lovely fabrics, and beautiful paintings. Guests to the hotel have ranged from average travelers to celebrities to ambassadors and even presidents. Prior celebrity guests are honored with a star showing on the name of the person on, and the star is on the doors of the rooms in the historic part of the inn. Some of those guests include names like Rudolph Valentino, we're going to talk more about him later, Shirley Temple, Clark Gable, Marilyn Monroe, and President Herbert Hoover. So, some big names have stayed there. With such a long history and so many guests, it is easy to understand that some strange things might have been reported over the years. And that is, of course, why we're talking about it today.
We wouldn't talk about a normal hotel.
What? Right. Who cares about a normal hotel? That's boring. Actually, it might be in the bizarre category to find a hotel that doesn't have weird shit that had happened in it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you really think about it, sightings of ghosts started not long after the hotel first opened in 1917. The hotel hosts a guest tour where stories are shared about some of the strange things that have been reported on the grounds. The first ghost noted in the hotel's history is commonly referred to as Captain because he is believed to have been a sea captain. Rumor is that his mistress killed him at the inn, which, you know, when you die there, I guess you want to haunt there. I don't know. His ghost has been seen throughout the hotel, wandering the halls and through the garden. Another specific entity reported at the inn is the ghost of actor Rudolph Valentino, who visited the hotel frequently before he died in 1923. He seems to be closely attached to room 221, where visitors were reported seeing him laying down in the bed with his indentation on the top covers.
Ooh, that's creepy.
That's super creepy. If I walk into my hotel room and there's a dude chilling on the bed, I'm gonna be freaked out. And then if he disappears, even fucking creepier. Other people have noticed knocking sounds on the walls and the doors in that room. Many guests choose to take the stairs rather than the elevator, which has been seen operating up and down, even though no buttons have been pushed and without any guests inside. So
that's, just being trapped in an elevator that goes wherever it wants to.
Right. Exactly. Like some asshole that got in ahead of you and punched all the buttons and you're like, great, now I have to stop at every floor. But no, it just goes up and down and who knows where you're going to get off. That'd be creepy.
Yeah.
People who have been in the elevator alone often report a sudden change in temperature causing them to get major goosebumps, which would be weird. Visitors to the inn have repeatedly reported seeing a stranger in front of them that vanishes into thin air. Again, don't like it when people vanish in front of me. I think that would be creepy. A female ghost has been reported at the hotel and has been given the nickname Peppy.
Like Peppy Le Pew?
Yes, but Peppy earned the nickname because of her constant upbeat mood. So I guess she's like really, really happy. But it's also better
than a mad ghost.
Well, that's true. I mean, I would rather have a happy ghost than a mad ghost for sure. But it's also believed that the ghost of this person, that the person was a cocaine addict and that she died there probably due to the cocaine. And that's why she's peppy and full of energy all the time and in a good mood because she's high on cocaine. I don't know if ghosts can partake of cocaine, but maybe they can. I don't know. There is a piano located at the hotel that many have reported witnessing that it plays by itself. So no one's around and then this piano is just playing a tune.
I'm okay. I'm good.
Yeah. Of course, there is the obligatory woman in white ghost because there's always a woman in white ghost. And there's one here too. It's been seen on multiple occasions. And our friend Anne that stayed there, she got a strange picture. She took it through like a clear glass window. And you can see in the picture, there's like a white shadow of something in one part of the window. So there was nothing behind it on the other side from where she took the picture. But then in the picture, there's like a hazy image of a
spooky
thing in white. Yeah. The ghost tours have reported this, the guides that do the ghost tours, they often tell about their own experiences. And several of them have noted that in a section of the basement, it smells like cigar smoke. But there's nobody down there smoking. Many visitors have reported seeing and hearing a young girl playing throughout the hotel and hallways. And she often asks people to play with her, which not a fan of. I don't want to play with a ghost. I don't want to play with kids in general, but I definitely don't want to play with a ghost kid.
It's like Shining or whatever.
Right, for sure. The hotel management has even brought in a medium to the hotel who reported that a little girl was thanking them for the dolls and crayons that they supplied her.
That's weird.
Yeah. Outside of the room once frequented by Marilyn Monroe, several people have reported seeing pink-colored smoke. Visitors have also reported hearing disembodied voices, both giggling and talking, and then hearing footsteps in an empty hallway.
Ooh, that's not cool.
Yeah. The disembodied sounds, I don't like that. I do want to stay here, though, because, you know, it'd be cool to see those things. But if seeing and hearing things isn't creepy enough for you, one guest reported waking up when she felt the sensation of someone cuddling up to her in bed and wrapping her in embrace.
I guess there could be worse things a ghost could do.
Oh, for sure. But you're laying in bed and you're asleep and then somebody's spooning you from behind and snuggling. Yeah. Oh, no. I don't know. No. The woman that reported this said when she woke up, the ghost realized that she woke up and the ghost left the bed. She felt it leave the bed.
That's weird.
It's so icky. One last creepy story that Anne told me. She took several pictures of herself in front of a mirror. And I saw her pictures that she was telling me. And in one of the pictures, you can see behind her, there's like a strange figure. You can see like, it almost, to me, it looked like a dark shadow with like a, maybe they were wearing like a hood or something. But you could see like there was something in that picture behind her. And then she showed me the picture right after it and it was not there. So it's not like it was a weird shadow in the image from like something in the room behind her. Because it was the same angle. You could see it was the same angle. And that weird shadow thing was gone, even though she'd taken it. She took like several successive pictures, and so
that's very spooky.
Yes, but she said it was a really nice hotel, and they had some cool experiences, and her friends had cool experiences too. So she did recommend it, and I know
I'm good.
You're not gonna go stay in a haunted hotel with me, but I have had other offers. Gina, shout out to Gina again. She said she would stay in a haunted hotel with me. So maybe we have to have a girls' trip.
I'm skipping the haunted hotel. No, thank you.
Okay. Your loss.
Okay, let's talk about this swatting. So this whole story results from a Call of Duty game, specifically Call of Duty World War II. In December, two men, Casey Viner and Shane Gaskill, were playing Call of Duty World War II in an online tournament. A $1.50 bet was placed on the match to whatever team won. And Casey and Shane's team lost the match, which the two took to social media to argue about the loss. The argument came down to friendly fire, and the two went to length on social media about the loss.
Okay, wait a second. Casey, I need to get... I have so many questions. So, they're playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're disputing a loss in the video game. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And this is the brutal story. So something bad's going to happen because they lost in a video game.
They lost a $1.50 bet in a video game.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay.
So Casey had threatened to swat Shane over the loss of the $1.50. And for everyone wondering what swatting is the act in where a hacker hacks your internet provider to discover the home address that your internet is connected to and will call the police to report a false crime at the address connected to make police presence arrive and infiltrate the home. Most swatting calls state that the caller has a gun and is going to kill everyone in the house or something like that. So it's obviously a very, like, law enforcement takes calls of this nature extremely seriously,
right?
Resulting in a SWAT team being assembled and ultimately kicking the door down.
Hostage situation. Yeah, bad shit's going to happen. So
for actual crimes like this, this technique is proven to be an effective response to a hostage situation. But for swatters, it is a sort of false justice for primarily streamers and online gamers.
Good God.
Many swatters use situations similar to a lost Call of Duty game or choose popular streamers to SWAT, resulting in law enforcement showing up at the home, connecting to the other player's account to, like, process a threat to the public. So now that you have a little context here, here's what happened on December 28th, 2017. After the arguing online between Shane and Casey, Casey threatened to swat Shane, and Shane had mocked him and given him the address to a previous home that another family now lived in.
No!
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Shane stated that he was ready and waiting. Casey took the address that Shane had provided and called a friend named Tyler Barris, who went by the name Swatistic.
Okay.
Yeah. Tyler was a homeless man who lived in LA and was known for calling in multiple swatting attempts, including a news network in the area and multiple schools, to which he served 16 months in prison for the swatting.
What a douche.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Tyler was in the South Los Angeles library when he received the request to swat Shane, and a call was made. Tyler called the Wichita City Council, who transferred the call to police, who believed he was calling from Wichita. When Tyler was patched through to the Wichita police, he claimed that he was at the address that Shane had provided. He had shot his father and had the rest of the family as hostage after pouring gasoline over the whole house.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Taking this call seriously, police rushed over to the address. Several cop cars pulled up with several deputies positioning themselves around the house. So, like, in the house across the street, like, on the side of the house, all that stuff.
Yeah.
A citizen who had never played Call of Duty online answered the door, Andrew Finch, who was the son of the homeowner. He stepped outside to greet the police officers with his hands raised. Police officer Justin Rapp, who had not been trained in SWAT tactics, he was set up across the street from the home with his AR-15 aimed at the front door of the house. Andrew stepped up with his hands up, confused on why he had multiple guns aimed at him.
Oh, yeah, he would be.
Yeah. Oh. And I want to state that the body cam footage is very hard to see. But according to Officer Rapp, Andrew dropped his hands and a shot rang out, killing Andrew almost immediately, since the shot went through his heart and the left lung of Andrew. While Andrew was the only one that died that night, it wouldn't be the only fatality due to the Russells of that night. In 2019, Andrew's niece died by self-inflicted gunshot wound in 2019 over the whole ordeal.
No. Was that obviously his daughter? No, you said his niece.
Yeah, his niece.
Okay.
Officer Rapp had no plan on shooting that day, and Tyler was arrested. He was originally arrested about the bomb threat to the news network, but was extradited to Kansas over the swatting, where he was charged with involuntary manslaughter. Tyler was charged with false information and hoaxes, cyberstalking resulting in death, making threats, interstate threats, conspiracy for false report, and wire fraud. Casey, the one who initiated lost the online
loss
match.
Of that. Okay.
Yeah, he was charged with wire fraud, conspiracy of false hoax, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy of obstructing justice. Shane was charged after it was discovered that he messaged Casey after the shooting saying, try again.
Yeah. Oh, what was he charged with?
He was charged with obstruction of justice, wire fraud, and conspiracy to obstruct justice.
Wow.
On October 26, 2018, Tyler was charged with 45 additional crimes, including fake threats of bombing and terrorism, threats against police and schools, financial fraud, and on November 13th, he pled guilty to 51 federal charges, which resulted in a charge of 5 years supervised release and $10,000 in restitution to Andrew's family.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. All because of a video game.
Yeah.
Shit.
He received about 15-month prison sentence, and Andrew's family received about $3 million from the city of Wichita over the endeavor.
Yikes.
In response to Andrew's death, Kansas state legislator determined that a similar situation would result in 10 to 15 years imprisonment and up to life if death occurs.
Wow.
So they've made it a lot more severe of a crime, which is good. Yeah. But
yeah.
Holy super cow. Messed up story.
That is so sad.
Yeah. And like these swatting things happen all the time. Usually they don't end up like that, but it's right. Still not good.
No, not good at all. Yeah. That is just tragic for Andrew's family and for law enforcement and, you know,
yeah,
be put in that situation.
The cop didn't want to shoot that guy. Like,
no. No. Yeah. And I know, you know, there's people who hate law enforcement and everything, and people, I'm sure, are just reaming this officer for, you know, he just was trying to do his job. Bottom line, you know?
Yeah, go home to his family. Like,
yeah,
he didn't know anything about the situation.
Exactly.
Really. Like,
exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Tragic.
Sorry.
I don't like it. Okay, let's change our palettes and talk about something more uplifting. Do you have a chaser for us today?
I do, and it's an Instagram account called Spicer Jack Jack, all one word. And okay. It's a little kitty that works on a farm, and he wears a cowboy hat and a cowboy vest. Yeah. And
oh my God.
All of his posts start with meowdy partners. And it's just like videos of him jumping on hay bales on the farm and stuff like that. It's very cute.
Oh, that is adorable. I have to go look before I move on to mine. Spicer Jack Jack?
Little black and white kitty.
He's a little tuxedo kitty. He's so cute. Yeah. Oh,
his little cowboy hat and handkerchief.
The hat and the handkerchief. And I clicked on one where he has like a little doll that's riding him.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious. I love it. Oh my God. So cute.
Yes. Very cute little Instagram account.
Yeah, that's cute. What a cute cat. All right.
What was your chaser, Mom?
My chaser is a watch recommendation. And that I think I recommended the first show, or we had talked about it or something, but Ancient Apocalypse on Netflix has a second season out.
Oh,
so there's two seasons, and this one has more information, and they do more of like talking about different areas and theories of stuff that happened thousands and thousands of years ago, and like some places that I had never heard of, and some things that I had never heard of there. It was really cool, like archaeological information and talking about, you know, what was once thought to be like, oh, humans never lived here. And now they're finding like fossilized human footprints, like thousands of years before they had, you know, suggested that people live there. So yeah, just really cool. I highly recommend it. It was a good show.
I'm going to have to check that out. I really like season one of it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well,
that
is
all I have
about,
for today.
Yeah, me too. Just about wraps us up today.
It does.
Go check us out on Instagram, all your favorite streaming services.
Yes.
Go ahead, drop us a 5-star review, a follow.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. I just checked our Apple reviews, and we don't have a new one. So if anyone wants to write us a new one, I'll read it soon. Write us a new one, please. pretty, please.
And
sugar on top.
Check us out next week at the same time.
Yes.
All right. Love you, Mom.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.